You heard me read from an article by Selwyn Duke where he defends me on the UK's banning me. He joins us now with a little more detail. Selwyn, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. Great to be with you. And hello to all those curious Englishmen who are now listening online. Michael, like you, I can't stay away from the computer. And I know what you mean about burning out your eyes with bits and bytes. And, like you, I saw the big story about you being banned from Britain by that nation's Home Secretary, Jackie Smith. And I heard that she publicized the names of the banned individuals so, quote, others could better understand what sort of behavior Britain was not prepared to tolerate. What they won't tolerate? You mean, like telling the truth? But, you know what, this may shock you, but I can't say I'm really surprised at Smith's actions. Listen, I keep my nose to the news, and every week I read about a couple more examples of political correctness on steroids coming out of formerly Great Britain. And if you think I exaggerate, try these stories on for size. The country's National Children's Bureau, funded mainly with government money, issued anti-racism guidelines stating that if toddlers say yuck in response to foreign food, and by the way, it's rumored that most UK toddlers say yuck in response to British food, but if a toddler says yuck, it could be a sign of racism. Racism. And how about this story? A 14-year-old schoolgirl named Cody Stott was arrested and jailed on a racial offense for requesting, what do you think, to be in a discussion group with English-speaking students.
English in England? What an outrage. Maybe they should ban her from England.
Yeah, maybe they should, Michael. But now, if these stories make any Brits' blood pressure rise, never fear. Because certain local governments in England are, listen to this, using taxpayer funds to encourage fish and chip shops to use salt shakers with fewer holes. The idea is that this will reduce sodium consumption. So, Michael, if it's any consolation to you, I'd say that cause for alarm would be if Britain's 1984 government endorsed you. I mean, Britain's Jacobin Jobsworths have clearly lost hold of their sanity, and Britain has gone from empire to about to expire.
Like I've said, whatever happened to what England was built on?
Well, whatever happened to it, they've gone from rum and the lash to leather bars and the leash. But joking aside, Michael, as you've said, this is no laughing matter. Because as Cody Stott and many other hate speech law victims around the Western world prove, the left is determined to stifle dissenting views, and labeling you a persona non grata is an example of this. They've lumped you in, Michael, with neo-Nazi and terrorist murderers simply because you espouse unfashionable positions. Not only that, outrageously, the Home Office wrote that you were, quote, seeking to provoke others to serious criminal acts and fostering hatred, which might lead to inter-community violence, unquote. Now, this is a bald-faced lie. I've listened to your show for years, Michael, and I can say with assurance, and I'll say this to anyone, that nothing is more contrary to your personality. Are you passionate? Sure, I am too, but it's not in your heart to incite violence. But nevertheless, critics will say that your commentary can raise ire, and you yourself have said that while your views are not violent in any way, they may be inflammatory. But let's think about this. Is this to be condemned? Now remember, just as physical inflammation can have a positive effect by helping to fight infection, inflammatory words can help combat political and cultural infections. And think about this also. Wasn't Patrick Henry inflammatory when he proclaimed, give me liberty or give me death? Hey, it was the Founding Fathers' inflammatory words that sparked the American Revolution and birthed our nation. And wasn't it inflammatory when that good leftist Susan Sontag said, quote, the white race is the cancer of human history, unquote? And lastly, wasn't one of the greatest Englishmen to ever live, G.K. Chesterton, inflammatory when he said, it is terrible to contemplate how few politicians are hanged. You know something, I wonder if a vision of the future, maybe of Jackie Smith, inspired Chesterton's lament. But anyway, he sure was inflammatory, and in today's 1984 Britain, that jolly rotund philosopher might be charged with hate speech and inciting violence, who knows? The point is that Inflammatory rhetoric is used by commentators of all stripes, and for a very simple reason. Most opinions on important matters are inflammatory to a degree. Listen, why do you think we have the saying, never discuss religion or politics? Because any time you express any opinion, especially on matters that lend meaning to people's lives, some will side with you and others will oppose you. It's by definition divisive. But how will people react? Well, whether they're inspired to virtue or incited to violence really depends more on the person than on the positions. So, does it really matter whether views are inflammatory or not? The critical factor is what? Whether they're true. Yet, to leftists, who are moral relativists, truth means nothing. They simply define anything contrary to their agenda as out of bounds. And this is why, Michael, way back when we saw the San Francisco Board of Supervisors condemn you for so-called hate speech while saying nothing. Nothing about vile college professors Bill Ayers and Ward Churchill. And how about this? Last year, Bill Moyers beat the Talk Radio Causes Violence drum and did a segment titled Rage on the Radio, What Happens When America's Airwaves Fill with Hate. Moyers discussed one Jim David Adkison, the man who opened fire on parishioners at a Unitarian church in Knoxville, Tennessee, in July of last year. And he mentioned that a copy of your book, Michael, Liberalism is a Mental Disorder, was found in Adkison's apartment, and Moyers clearly implied that talk radio hosts incite violence. Yet, Moyers didn't do a feature, as far as I know, on how Al Gore's book, Earth in the Balance, with certain passages highlighted, was found in the possession of Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber. Yes, the friendly neighborhood liberal who mailed off homemade bombs, murdering three innocent people. Now, will Gore be banned from Britain as someone whose words can foment violence? I don't think so. But you know what? If our esteemed media ever resolved to connect the carbon credit con man with the Luddite bomb man, I have a title at the ready. Listen to this. Blood and Gore, What Happens When Environmental Extremists Take to the Pen. And there are other stories to be explored as well. For instance, the media could draw a connection between Colin Ferguson, he was the black Long Island Railroad gunman who targeted whites, and the kind of rhetoric spewed by a Reverend Jeremiah Wright. They could call the report, how's this? Rage in the Pulpit. What happens when black churches fill with hate? But I won't hold my breath waiting for the mainstream media to apply a fairness doctrine to themselves. Far more likely is that I'll be called a hater for daring to criticize black churches. So, my complaint is not that leftists observe what is inflammatory. It's that they're numb to what should be inflamed and what should be soothed, to what's true and what's a lie. My complaint is that our media have helped thrust us into what George Orwell called a time of universal deceit, where telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And this is why we have Canadian human rights tribunals, talk about a euphemism, huh? Canadian human rights tribunals that have ruled, listen to this, that truth is not a defense against a hate speech charge.
Well, I guess the truth will set you free, but not in Canada.
No, Michael, nor in England. But look, if Nanny State Central had regard for truth and really wanted to thwart violence, you know what it would do? It would clamp down on Muslim extremists preaching jihad in its streets. It would say no to Sharia law and defend its culture. And if it really cared about not dividing people, it would force foreigners to assimilate and stop persecuting native Englishmen. I mean, after all, what's going to make Englishmen hate foreigners? When you, Michael, defend their culture, or when their own government punishes them for defending it, with the attitude that the truth is no defense against a hate speech charge. You know, this all reminds me of a man named Charles Robert Jenkins, who was an American soldier who spent 39 years in captivity in North Korea. And why does it remind me of him? Well, listen to what this man had to say about the communists. Quote, in North Korea, when you lie, they think you are telling the truth, and when you tell the truth, they think you are lying. You learn real quick to say no when you mean yes, and yes when you mean no. Unquote. The further a society drifts from truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. This is the real problem you have, Michael. And it's the problem we'll all have, increasingly, unless we're willing to live those fashionable lies or defeat the fashionable liars. Michael, thank you for having me on again, and God bless, and God is truth, you and your audience.
Selwyn Duke, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.